Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Percent.
Wow.
Digging that.
Yeah. I voted for DLE or whatever the heck it was.
Double elimination.
Yeah, just because I wanted to see. It was kind of the underdog. But I do kind of like double elimination tournaments. I like the College World Series.
The hot dog eating contest, Texter says, should be a playoff series 100%. Oh, my God, that's scary.
What were we talking about, having a best of seven for football?
Yes. You can do that on the computer. NCAA baseball has a great format. Baseball needs either double elimination or series. I think most people look at that and say for baseball, that's true. Basketball and football, you couldn't do a series. But basketball and hockey right now. These finals have been awful.
God,
awful.
They suck.
I mean,
the Oilers managed to get three goals in on Bobrovsky last night of the Panthers, but they were just giving up goals left and right. They lost 4-3.
So both series are 3-0. They thought up three goals in like a 6-minute span.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And I was at work and I was like, also, I think it's Sean McDonough.
Yes. Yeah.
I miss Doc Emmerich, man. The
Tanner just hates all the ESPN.
The excitement of the first goal. Like, I didn't know it went in. It was like, oh, and the Panthers score. And I'm like, oh, whoa, wait, what? Like,
he misses Doc. He's a Doc purist.
Who doesn't miss Doc, though?
Pick my team. No, that's true. Even hockey, the other announcers would say that.
Give me Gary Thorne.
I worked with him, too.
I love Gary Thorne.
I worked with Gary Thorne, with Sean McDonough. Never worked with Steve Levy, but I like
him. If you were to rank the hockey announcers, who would you rank? It's Doc, that CBC guy.
He's really good.
Chris.
I can't remember his name.
He's
good.
Oh, and if you want to go way back, you got to go back to Foster Hewitt, and those were the two guys that did Hockey Night in Canada. Foster and his father, Bill. They were really good.
They were good.
Very, very good.
Who is the CBC guy? Chris. We need to take a top of the hour break because we've got to hit these
play by play. But Don Cherry.
Oh, no, Don Cherry. Don Cherry's wild.
All right, you know, you just gotta get the things that would. Oh, you know, when you're in the corner, you know, you gotta dig your elbow into the guy's back of his head, and then you gotta.
Chris Cuthbert is Chris the lead play-by-play guy on CBC Sports Night for Hockey Night in Canada. He's also done the Grey Cup. I wanted to actually get him on the show.
He's good.
Just everything that you would like about Canada, you'd like.
Hey, he's your age.
So what?
So you guys could reminisce about horse-drawn buggies and
Bill
stuff.
Bill Hewitt, that's not funny, 1928 to 1966, and Foster Hewitt was, I don't know, his son, or which was first? I think Bill was first, and Foster was his son and did it for a while. Yeah. No, Bill Hewitt is the son of Foster Hewitt. Good Lord, when was Foster Hewitt on the air?
Do you remember Don Cherry, Rock'em Sock'em?
Vaguely,
yeah.
He had some gems. His takes were as colorful as his suits.
Hockey announcers that have been good that are Gary Thorne is very good. Kenny Albert is very good. A bit understated, but very good. Kenny did the Ranger games for years.
I like Kenny Albert.
Jamie likes, and he's got to be 80 years old, but he is pretty good. Sam Rosen is on the Ranger broadcast.
Oh yeah,
Sam is. That's a power play goal. That's his catchphrase. When it's a power play goal, he didn't just say.
Yeah,
it like,
yeah, no, I was going to say that wouldn't fit.
Guy's offside,
shorthanded.
Guy's offside, and he starts screaming. It's a power play, Sam. We talked about this.
Sam,
it's just offside.
Sam,
that's icing. It's just a face off. It's a power play goal. He's starting it again. Get his handler.
The warm ups just started. Come on, man.
Who else were great hockey play by play guys? Marv Albert was a really good hockey radio play by play guy. I don't remember him ever doing it on TV. He was very good. I think radio hockey is very hard. extremely hard. If you're not a passionate fan,
yeah,
it's almost unlistenable to. Because like when I was a kid, there were only six teams in the league. I knew all the players on all teams.
Right.
But when they got to be 12 teams, 14 teams, 20 teams, and they would play, and it's in the corner, Johnson tries to get, gets it back to, well, Johnson, is he on our team? Is he on their team?
Who's
he on? Who's he throwing it to? And then there were always Russian names. Gorbachev throws it to Khrushchev, who throws it, you know, and it was like, what? Who is that? I don't know what that is exactly. So it was very difficult to listen on radio.
Yeah. So it was tricky.
But
Sully, me, and Tanner had a decent flow of hockey by the end of the season.
Were you disappointed that I left you out of the all-time great?
No, not at all, because I'm not going to pretend I'm good at it yet.
I think I'm pretty good. I'm a little upset.
Okay, Tulio.
3 years. I did my time.
Doc Emmerich was known, for the people who don't know, for coming up with
a million different verbs.
I think it was 65 different verbs to move the puck. And I had to look up
what
he
feathers.
I
love
the different ways he said the post. It was.
He did. Well, he did. The one he actually was a web page.
And it ricochets off the iron.
Because you had to look it up. There was a website. Like, I didn't understand what it meant. He pitchforks it.
Yeah.
To say, you know what that is?
Like
somebody doing hay.
Yeah, right.
I didn't know that. I don't know what the hell that meant. Pitchforking it.
Yeah.
So that's what he called it. Pitchforks it, wraps it, nestles it.
Nestles it. Floats it. Floats it. Pokes it.
Yeah.
Feathers it. Yeah. Oh, big fan of Doc
Mike
Emmerich.
Doc Emmerich was the first broadcaster to be inducted into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame.
I can't remember who, if it was him or if it was his broadcast partner. I can't remember who it was, but there was a play, and there's a scrum, and one of the players jumps off the bench to attack another player. And they're just breaking the play down. It's like, yeah, you know, Nemistikov, you know, gets into it with Johnson. And then here comes, you know, like Gustafson. And, oh, that'll be a healthy suspension. I love
that. You quoted that line a lot.
I love that.
You know
that
who
line. That'll
very
be
good
a healthy
hockey
suspension.
Hockey has great analysts. You guys probably don't remember a guy named Bill Clement.
No, I know.
Oh,
I remember
Bill
Clement.
Bill was fantastic.
He was on the old
I've interviewed
not
him.
Not the EA NHL games. He was on the ESPN
he
ones.
He was great. A guy who's still working. He did ESPN games, and then he did Columbus Blue Jackets games. Now I think he works in Florida, is Brian Engblom. Yeah. Also very good.
Also good.
Brian Engblom.
I remember them.
Darren Pang.
Oh, yeah.
Extraordinarily good.
My all-time, that's my go-to Darren Pangham style. Instead of Gangnam style, I'm Darren Pangham style.
Nice. The guy who's working right now in the finals, Chicken Parm.
Ray Ferraro.
Ray Ferraro is very, very good. Yeah. So.
Which studio show do you like better? Do you like Levy, Messier, and PK Subban, or do you like who they have over on TNT with Biz and Tanner? Who else is over on TNT? It's Biz.
Oh, Biz, Gretzky.
Gretzky.
Oh, my God. I want to say it's Pete Blackburn, but it's not him.
No, it's not. I like
Anson
Pete
Carter.
Anson Carter. Sometimes Hank.
Sometimes Hank. He's always has the best suits.
Your mother loves when he's on just to see what he's going to wear.
He's a stud.
Subban dresses like that, too. I'm going to sound like I'm being a company man, and I promise I'm not. I love Gretzky, having met him and interviewed him. I love him.
No, name drop.
The ESPN crew is better because Subban's just opinionated enough, and I think Messier brings a lot more passion to the table. Gretzky tends to be more
subdued
and analytical, and Hank is very good.
I can't take Gretzky seriously because of I would have done. Yeah, well, Wayne, we're not all man.
We can't take him seriously since he decided to go to the Harpo Marx School of Hair. What was that all about?
Yeah, his hair was a little funny.
What is that all about?
We're about to head out to Pinehurst. Tanner, cue it up. Let's see. We are moments away. 30 seconds from heading out to our...
We didn't get any horses yet for the coaches.
I like that.
Texted us.
It's a good idea, but that's...
Julio, you weren't here. What actual racehorse name would be appropriate for coaches of some sort? Professional or college, basketball, baseball, football... Yeah,
you could do. Oh no, rats! I was going to say cigar for Howard, but no, he was a pipe.
Cigar could be Red Auerbach.
Yeah, there you go. Do we have no update? Nothing's coming through.
love it. I love that we can't figure this out. I'm so
it
enamored.
Came through over on Middays with Marcus Maven.
I am so enamored by the fact that every time there's a glimmer of hope that we'll actually look like a real radio station, we immediately drive it, just like in your WWE, we pile drive it, come off the ropes, and slam it back down into the ground and eliminate any possible hope that it would be remotely.
Wait a minute. I'm going to go do something.
No, sure. No, do it right on the show. Good. Yeah. Try and get under here and push buttons. Yeah, that'll be good.
I'm not lying. It is just Jim Brown like continuing his conversation.
Great.
Do you remember when he fought, what was it, Jim Everett, but he kept calling him Chris Everett?
That's when I lost respect for him because I thought that was such
a... You won't say it again. I will, Jim.
Try it now. Mombasa, Kenya in the house.
Mombasa, Kenya. Yeah. Wreck it. Wreck. Great interview. Wreck it.
Wait, what was our thing we were going to say?
I don't know. Scrap it?
No, we're going to do like an Italian thing. Like, yeah, put that pasta in the oven or something.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I like that. I'm all in favor of that. All right. John Davidson was a great analyst also. Forgot about him. Because Yard Barker has the list of the greatest hockey announcers and analysts of all time. Bill Clement, Joe Bowen, I don't know him. Bob Cole, he was Canadian, so you wouldn't have heard him here. Mike Doc Emmerich, John Davidson, very good.
I like Kenny Danico as my analyst.
He was good. Gene Hart, he was really good. And he was on a rival announcer, so it was hard to like him.
But I have a fun fact.
Philadelphia Flyers.
About Ken Danico, though.
Okay.
Despite him being such a tough guy in the NHL, his son's voice, singing-wise, really? And his daughter,
How
Taylor.
Would you know that?
Because there were times that I met like the Danicos, and then we were at one game and they did the national anthem. I already knew about Shane and Taylor,
did the anthem.
Like their singing voice, but I didn't know they were going to do it live in front of the audience, and they were amazing.
How'd that work out for you?
Not great, Bob.
Thanks. Not great. Dan Kelly. He was the first national hockey announcer I heard, because when I was a kid, they didn't have a national contract. It was just six teams, and you had your local guys. There was a guy in New York who did the Ranger games named Win Elliott. Would you like to know what his criteria was?
Winford. Was that his real name?
They asked around the studio, anybody know anything about hockey? And he was like, I know something.
Wow, talk about a battlefield promotion.
Do you know who his analyst was? This is absolutely the truth. I hope some of you old enough to know this guy. The first hockey analyst for the New York Rangers when they first started airing the games in New York. I'm not making this
Gump
up.
Worsley.
Doug Harvey.
Was the guy who was the original host of Let's Make a Deal, Monty Hall.
Monty Hall?
America's top trader, TV's big dealer, Monty Hall. Why? He was from Canada.
Oh, wait.
So they just
I'm not making that. I asked him. I had him on the show once. I said, how the hell did you get that job? He said, they came in the studio one day and they said, we're going to have the rights to the Rangers. Any of you guys from Canada? I said, I am. I said, okay. Can you be the analyst? He was like, I really... was not an expert, but I knew how to...
Was he doing Let's Make a Deal things?
No, this was before Let's Make a Deal.
Would you rather have...
a slap shot or take what's behind the face-off dot to the right of Ed Jockerman? I'll go for the face-off dot.
When did you talk to Monty Hall? Talk about a name drop.
At the network.
Was Monty Hall just like chilling up there?
No, I learned that. I learned that back then. I was like, I think Andy Elric was my producer. I said, do you believe this? Monty Hall and Elric, unlike you, when he heard something like that, would get on right away. Like Tom Hamilton, man, he'd have been on that. Mm-hmm. So he made a call. I don't know who the hell he called. One advantage, in all seriousness, is you can call your own network.
Right.
I mean, Disney owns ABC also, so he could call the ABC talent office and say,
and they tracked down Monty Hall?
ABC, Let's Make a Deal, I think was an ABC show.
Wasn't on the air, though.
No.
I mean, they brought it back.
They got files, like when they keep playing the roundtable. They get files.
Yeah, okay.
Monty Hall. America's top trader, TV's big dealer, Monty Hall. That was, we were allowed to go home for lunch. You still allow kids to go home for lunch now, or are they afraid they're going to get kidnapped?
I don't know.
Killed and stuff. Because he used to be able to go home for lunch, so I would be...
Aiden, do they let kids go home for lunch?
Well, how would he know? He doesn't have a home.
Yeah, I know, but he would just stare wistfully at everybody going home to loving families. And then he would go right back to his trash can and see...
sitting in the doorway of Qdoba. So I would go home every day.
His best friend is Rocky the Raccoon.
Rocky Raccoon. That's Paul McCartney's song. So I had an hour for lunch. Half hour, you play on the playground. Because I was, I'm going to forget this. There was 4 5th grade classes.
Mm-hmm.
3 of them had the earlier lunch, and then I had the later lunch.
Oh, I always hated that.
So I would come out and be part of their recreation part first. I did right. backwards. And then I'd go home and eat lunch when the rest of my kids went out to the playground and did their rec. So, and why is that got to do with Let's Make a Deal? Because we watched that every day.
Really?
I went home and watched it with my mother.
Aw, that's cute.
Yeah, very sentimental. Oh, Jiggs McDonald. How about him? Come on, Jiggs.
That just sounds like a 1920s.
You don't know Jiggs
pitcher.
McDonald?
That sounds like a pitcher.
Jiggs was the play-by-play voice for the Islanders in their 4 Stanley Cup teams.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, and I feel like we should have known this.
Ed Westfall was an analyst who was very good.
We weren't born in the 70s.
Now he works for – now current the current Islander analyst is a guy named Butch Goring. You must know that name at least.
Yeah.
You know, you don't expect to know Doug Harvey or Lord Stanley or the original six, but Butch Goring played at least – well, you were, I think, on the earth.
I think so.
Yeah.
Name sounds familiar.
All right. Here we go. What do we got? The Golden Child called a few more penalties than normal as well. Oh, Hader. Yeah, he was at the – Hader played against you the other day.
Yeah, he did. Looks great for 47.
Did Bob ever give his analysis of Wednesday's game? Nice pants, Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, did he score a goal? Because it says the first goal by that old stud. Is that him? Did he score?
Who, me?
Hader.
Hader. Oh, yeah. I think Hader did get the first goal. Yeah.
All right. Congratulations.
Good job, Hader.
Giving him a goal horn. All right, Tulio, we'll go to a break here.
And well, I might be getting my pants fixed. Our hostess at the restaurant is a seamstress at U of L. So I brought in my stinky hockey pads.
To the restaurant.
To the restaurant. How management puts up with my shenanigans.
I have no, that goes to show you how desperate the workforce is right now, honestly. Because they put up with stuff from you that's unbelievable.
They thought Johnny, our manager, was an umpire. Some guy came in and saw pads that are ripped in half, so they kind of look like a chest protector for an umpire. He looked down at those and then saw Johnny, who was wearing all black, and goes, "Hey, are you an umpire?" And Johnny goes, "No, I'm the manager of the restaurant." What are you talking about?
Do you know Angel Hernandez? All right, break time. More to come. ESPN 680-1057.
Screen, bobbles the dribble, Hancock goes after, can't get it, Blackshear does, gives to Siva, lobs it, and a slam power dunk by Harold. And just like that, Louisville has the lead.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday, presented by L81.
L.A., the suffering cut tomorrow. L.A., a new kind of taste. L.A., the suffering cut tomorrow. L.A., it's from another place.
Crisp, clean. L.A.
Emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios and heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNV network.
All right, so
hey, 2 wins is 2 wins.
So here's how rumors get started. Here's why I believe in letting the cake bake, because this is what happens. So Nick is going out tonight with Julia, his significant other, and they're going to Red Lobster for scoring at home. So
yeah, Janet found some coupons she wants
during the commercial. My wife had called, and she said, "Oh, isn't it a shame Red Lobster's going out of business?" Now, had I been like Nick, just guess, and don't bother actually checking.
I didn't guess. I saw that they were filing for bankruptcy.
I would have come on and said, "Wow, they're going out of business." But that's not true. They are not having the best of times, but the firm co-founded by the Milwaukee Bucks co-owner, wants to save Red Lobster from bankruptcy.
Right, so they're bankrupt.
That was 4 hours ago. But there's a whole bunch of businesses that declare bankruptcy. They what is it? Chapter
11.
11 is the reorganization.
Right.
That's not the one that means you're shutting the doors. You're just trying to hold your creditors.
Which one's that?
I think Chapter 7 is a more serious one, Okay. But I'm not a tax attorney. So a Wall Street investment firm co-founded by billionaire Milwaukee Bucks co-owner Wesley Edens could swoop in to save Red Lobster from bankruptcy, according to a report. The Fortress Investment Group, he has $48 billion in private equity, specializes in rehabilitating distressed businesses. I wish I were rich. That's what I'd like to do.
Yeah, this is all a crap. I saw a video, so you know it's true.
Oh, well, there you go.
But this is the.
He doesn't actually rescue distressed businesses. What he does is he goes into
unprotected
homes and he robs them.
No, all the rich guys help each other out. Like, they, you know. Like, and then they, you know, they'll buy stuff from one guy who'll own all the napkins and they'll buy from him. And so they all, you know, the rich just get richer. Bottom line.
Oh, no, in your case, when you explain it, that makes sense. Please let Red Lobster just go out of business. No, shutter the doors.
No,
never
I'd
get
rather,
to eat there because I'm nervous that one
save,
guy
I
is going to have
save.
The napkin. What do you? They're not doing
I want to save
they're
Red
not,
Lobster.
They're not
but
nuns and
it
priests.
It makes me a little miffed when I hear stuff like, you know, it's just.
They're trying to figure out how they can. It's a win-win if they do it right. They make money and they save jobs and they save businesses.
They're not doing it to save jobs. They're just trying to get richer. But if it saves me some delicious popcorn chicken or popcorn shrimp in the process, I'm okay with it. Who is this?
They're businessmen. I'm fairly certain they're not doing it altruistic.
Who's the girl?
I don't know. How am I supposed to?
Well, why is the New York Post have an ad and there's a business looking guy, there's some sort of IG model looking girl, and a Milwaukee Bucks player? I think that's Giannis. I can't tell because the screenshot's very small.
The Fortress Investment Group is a $48 billion private equity firm expected to take charge of the struggling casual dining chain as it looks to climb out of Chapter 11. Executives at Fortress, which was founded by Edens, Rob Kaufman, and Randall Nardone, are poring over Red Lobster's books in an attempt to figure out why the restaurants are failing. Fortress, who already holds a large chunk of Red Lobster's debt, is also reportedly mapping out a strategy for the restaurant chain's comeback by identifying which regions and demographics would best support a revival of its popularity. How is that bad? That's what they're businessmen. They're not just taking their money and throwing it into the gutter.
I don't know. I just saw some video and it made me very sour on the whole thing.
Co-chair of the company. The firm is particularly keen on shredding Red Lobster's terrible lease agreements that have put a major dent on its bottom line.
That's it. It's something about like the land that they're actually on. That was the part that
Wesley
was a little...
Edens is the father of internet personality Mallory Edens, which my guess is who that picture is of, who was reportedly linked romantically with New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, there you go.
Last month, Red Lobster, that's how Nick used to say it when he was a toddler, which previously had 550 locations, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection after it shuttered 93 restaurants. Court filings revealed that the chain is in danger of shutting down an additional 135 restaurants if the company is unable to renegotiate the terms of its lease. The filings list 228 rejected leases that the company has flagged as money-losing propositions if they continue without adjustments. Shortly after it filed for bankruptcy, the Post reported that Red Lobster was working to keep its Times Square location open. Remember, we just passed that one. There's a Red Lobster right there in Times Square.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Would you like to guess how much money they pay in rent every year? Take a stab.
How much?
The landlords that own the property at 5 Times Square are looking to double the rental income it takes in the restaurant. What do you think it is now, and what do you think they want to raise it to? And now I understand why they're all pissed off.
A monthly? Rent?
Annually.
Annually for all of their restaurant chains?
I'm going to try and read it one more time, see if you can listen this time.
Because I'm reading something
about this.
The
landlords that own the property at 5 Times Square.
Just the one in Times Square.
What do you think the annual rent is there?
Oh, God. That's got to be annually $7 million.
I was surprised. Not as much as you think. Just under $1 million a year.
Really?
But they want to double it to $2.2 million a year.
Oh, okay.
And so they're like, we can't, no can do. Red Lobster currently has a $20 endless shrimp dish as a limited time promotion. I could go for that. Maybe I'll have dinner there. I'll come and sit somewhere else in the restaurant. I'll just be staring at you guys the whole meal, just eating the food and just staring at you guys. Is he still looking? Yep.
You're going to eat that?
We said, good. And then every time they bring more shrimp out to me, tap the table. Nick.
Yes, Dad. I see you.
You got more. They brought me more shrimp. It's endless. You keep telling them you want shrimp, they bring it out. Uh-huh. Are you going to kiss Jeanette?
Check, please.
So there you go. So that is...
It says here...
I can see that. Just, hey, Mr. Waiter, I'm on that guy's tab over there.
I can't say we ran.
The LA Times has a story saying it wasn't just the endless shrimp. Red Lobster's corporate owners drove it to bankruptcy.
Oh, so you want to blame these guys? You have really Nikki the Lib. You're way lefter than me. It's all about the man. The man just abusing people, driving the company into the ground.
No.
It's all about the man.
No, now watch me take a hard right turn. Evidently, Golden Gate Thai Union. So that's pretty close to China. they've been driving up the suffocating leases at, quote, above market rents.
Yeah, that's still fair.
She kind of did a little bit. We had a cleaning lady come in to take the trash out of the studio. And
she looked like Kim Mulkey?
Yeah, and randomly they took Louis Rabeau. Hey, I'm kidding. It was the first host I could think of. No, she did look a little bit like Kim Mulkey.
Fired! I still cannot believe that that's not Jason Anderson. That is amazing to me.
That's Nick Landis from Lanny Pater from Team Four Star.
Some Red Lobster restaurants soon face major shrimp shortages.
See, Monday is the
endless
shrimp.
About the same time, they eliminated two shredded shrimp suppliers, leaving Thai Union with an exclusive deal that led to higher costs. Oh, anytime you're only getting it from one place.
Well, that's always dangerous.
Well, in marriage, that's a good thing, but not necessarily. Oh, wait a minute. What?
And couch.
Should only be getting it from one place. Did you know, how about this for a stat? Red Yopster, do you want to guess what percentage of all North American lobster tails are purchased by Red Lobster? What percentage?
41%.
Higher or lower?
Oh, lower.
He knows because he grew up in a fishing community.
Yeah.
His family lived on a houseboat.
Are we now giving Tulio a backstory?
20% of all North American lobster tails.
41% was way too high.
16% of all rock lobsters sold worldwide are purchased by Red Lobster.
6% Red Lobster?
16% of all rock
16%.
16% of all rock lobsters.
Are you saying 16, 1, 6, or 60?
1,
well,
6.
Well, I said 14, lower.
15, 16% of
no,
all
but no,
rock
he's
lobsters.
Talking about rock lobster now. Now he's talking about...
Beatles song popped in my head. I don't know why that was.
Why is lobster considered fancy? I mean, isn't it kind of like...
Expensive.
Like cockroach of the sea?
You sound like my father. Scavengers of the sea.
I mean, it's delicious. Don't get me wrong. It's really good. But how come, like, lobster became so...
You want to start getting into all esoteric things? Why is gold so valuable? What the hell do we do with it?
It's shiny. Makes sense.
It doesn't make any sense. My friend in high school said we should go to the glass standard.
Why is gas expensive?
Well, that's because you can't move your car without it, and we don't have any of it. But gold, how much would it be? You don't need it to do anything other than wear jewelry.
You can't impress a woman without some lobster, though.
Wow. Another Tulioism. I'm going to make a book of Tulioisms. All right, quick.
What impresses a woman more, gas, gold, or lobster?
What city is Red Lobster headquartered in?
Maine.
I was going to say Portland, Maine.
Nope, not even close.
California.
Let's do the hot, cold game. Cold, ice cold.
Ice cold in California?
No, yours, ice cold, also cold. Ice cold.
Florida. Tampa.
Warm, very warm.
Miami.
Orlando.
Done.
Wow. Orlando, look at me.
That was impressive.
Yeah,
not
bad
Orlando,
for a guy
though.
With a shellfish aversion.
You can't eat lobster either?
No, I can eat it. I eat all of them. I think honestly, I've thought I've had a shellfish aversion. I think I do still have a little bit, but I think I get sick on Night of the Seven Fishes every year because of Mom's clam chowder. I think I've been lactose intolerant most of my life.
Well, he slapped me.
Because
me
every
salad.
Time I mean, it's the chowder that always gets me sick.
There's a Kevin Malone quote with that.
What?
Where Pam brings in brownies, and it's like, oh, brownies, yeah. Oh, wait, Kevin, those have walnuts in it. Aren't you highly allergic? Oh, yeah, highly, but I'll fight through it.
But I'll fight through it, yep.
Hey, this just in, 38 minutes ago this posted from West Palm Beach, Florida. I don't know why. When it rains, it pours for companies. U of L certainly can vouch for this. Just when the karma hits. Here's the headline. Red Lobster employee arrested for pistol whipping his manager. And then robbing the restaurant. Chambé Salome Green, 35, facing robbery and false imprisonment charges. And I think if you're scoring at home, you'll be able to see a highlight of this. There's a video. on the store CCTV.
I'm not tipping out the bartender. No way.
Three-time convicted felon was arrested at his Lauderdale home Thursday for a violent armed robbery in April at Red Lobster. They tracked his ass down. And let's see. I don't want to watch that. Why do I want to watch that? Absolutely.
On a lighter note involving Red Lobster.
Yep.
Flava Flav officially teams with Red Lobster after attempting to save the bankrupt chain on social media.
Flava Flav money?
Previously.
He said what? What
I thought
he
was also fighting bankruptcy recently.
That's like a good point.
I could have sworn he had like some money issues.
He still has money?
Like what? He had like two songs.
Something like that. But yeah, no, he went viral for ordering the entire Red Lobster menu at one location.
Why? Just to help him?
I guess so. Now he's helping the chain promote Crab Fest. Shout out Flava Flav. On Monday, June 10th, the seafood chain unveiled a partnership with the hip-hop legend. The unlikely duo announced that Red Lobster's Crab Fest is officially back. Yeah, boy!
Oh, I got
Flava Flav 65 exclaims at the start of the commercial, "When the internet said Red Lobster is going away, boy, Flava Flav said, not today." There you go.
I work with two guys here who are restaurant workers who nobody will appreciate the next two paragraphs I'm about to read more than you guys.
What?
Going back to the pistol-whipping manager and then robbing the store.
I've never wanted to do that. Police I've had very good managers.
One of the workers told detectives that the robber's voice on the video sounded like a cook. We're already starting there. We all know the cooks are...
Oh, back of house.
Sounded
terrifying.
Like a cook named Sean, whose real name is Tashambe Salome Green. Wait, according to police, this is the part you'll love. Green was cut from his shift and sent home sometime after 6:30 because the restaurant was not busy. So he decided to come back, pistol whip the manager, and rob the register. It's like, I'm not getting paid, huh? We'll see about that. We'll see about that. There you go. Didn't work. Crime does not pay. Always remember that.
No. Why would you come back and rob it on a slow night, too?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, seriously. Like, come back on a busy night. Or something. I mean, you know all the security of, have you ever done closing? Right. Best way to learn to rob your restaurant is to do closing activities. Not that I would ever do that. No, I'm just saying that. Hypothetically.
Detective Gillis, he's right here.
Detective,
get your new pants on and get this man out of here.
I would never rob Lulu. I love those guys. I'm just saying, if I wanted to.
You'd do it
could.
At closing time.
I do it at closing time. I know the points of ingress and egress.
You just start playing closing time.
Get everyone out
it's
the door.
It's a stick up.
Like, Nick, we saw you.
No.
You brought in hockey pants today.
Starting to get pissed off.
Oh. What is this?
John Philip Sousa.
This is not American music.
I don't know what
that sounded
there.
Like a 1950s like crime drama. Sounded like Perry Mason.
Let's see if we can get a march out of him here.
You going to do a U.S. Open update?
Yeah.
There we go. That's more like it.
Oh, this is U.S. Open update brought to you by the people who make merry-go-rounds. We've been providing music for merry-go-rounds for generations. John Philip Sousa, the official voice of merry-go-rounds all around the country. Here's your leaderboard in the U.S. Open. Patrick Cantlay is even through four holes today, keeping him at 5 under. He's in a tie with Ludvig Åberg, who is 1 under today, 5 under for the tournament. They are tied for the lead. Michael Pavon is 4 under with Bryson DeChambeau, who birdied number 18 to finish at 4 under. They're in a three-way tie for second. They are coupled with Thomas Dietrich. Also at 4 under.
Is that the Belgian guy?
Yes. Rory McIlroy, the recently reconciled Rory McIlroy, not such a good day today. 2 over for the day, keeps him at 3 under par alone in 6th place. Tony Finau tied
where
for 7th with Hideki Matsuyama at -2, and that rounds out your top 8. Xander Schauffele is at -1. Tulio's guy, Corey Marikawa, is even through 3, so he's even.
Corey.
Colin.
Marikawa.
How'd you call him Corey?
Because I made a mistake. I said Colin Marikawa. Okay?
But his name's Colin.
Colin Marikawa.
No, Morikawa. It's Colin Morikawa.
Colin.
You called him Corey, like. It's Colin. No, say his name.
He's tied with Blake Kepka.
Steve Young.
Tied with Blake Kepka, Bob Horschel, and Mike Kuchar. Also, Rodney Fowler is in that group.
Yeah, you did that on purpose.
And Glenn Woodland. You happy now?
You did that on purpose. You completely have made a mockery of the U.S. Open.
Where's Lion Forest in there?
Don't try to sushi your way out of it.
Colin Morikawa. You happy now?
Yay.
Yes, and read all the other ones. No, do it right.
I'm trying to find, where is this Scheffler? Is he in jail?
He might be.
Too soon.
Tiger Woods minus one.
Hey.
For the day is three. He would make the cut right now.
Let's he's go, Tiger.
Got to be in the top 60. He's tied for
take
50
that
second.
Lock.
What? Snack on that for lunch, Lock.
Where the hell is, oh my Lord. Scheffler's going to miss the cut?
Wow. Whoa, that's a big
Scheffler,
story.
Four over for the day, five over for the tournament, tied for 75th. I don't think he's going to make the cut. It's top 60. I don't think they
dude,
have that.
Shout out intern Emma for that, because I said, do I bet on him again? Because obviously he keeps winning. She goes, I don't think he's going to have a good tournament.
Wow, good work out of her.
Do they have the 10-stroke rule? We still never established that. If you're within 10 strokes of the leader, he would just make it, because the leader's minus five. He's plus five, but I think they did away with it.
What's the bigger story, Tiger making the cut or Scheffler missing the cut?
Scheffler missing the cut.
I agree with that.
Because that's astounding. People, the overwhelming favorite to win it. He's not even going to get to play on the weekend. Louisville's Adam Hadwin is probably going to miss the cut also, although he's still got some golf to play. Two over for the day, six over for the tournament, and that makes him right now tied for 94th. Doesn't look particularly good. This U.S. Open update isn't brought to you by your friends.
You need to do another Windows read. You might as well do another Windows read.
This is brought to you by our friends at Universal Windows Direct. They have super spacer technology. That's the key. Keeps your home cooler in the summer, warmer in the winter, quiet all year round. They have a deal right now. Buy two, get two free. Buy four, get four. No limit. 0% financing for 60 months. That's 5 years. Only at Universal Windows Direct. To find out more, go to UWD.com. Set up your free in-home estimate today. Universal Windows Direct. For the last windows you'll ever need. And like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows. U.S. Open Update brought to you from Eastwood 8 on The V-Show.
That was good.
Thank you.
You're just going to sporadically play John Philip Sousa.
I think so. I'm kind of digging it.
Just a little patriotic march.
Well, because it reminds me of merry-go-rounds. Merry-go-rounds are happy. I shouldn't say this because then Nick will run to his therapist, and I'm not making fun of that. But I mean, I'm not looking to die, but
I
think you get to a point in your life, there's two things that work. You realize things that make you happy,
right.
And I'm going to cuss, so hit the dump button, and you don't give a shit about if people like it or not. You're not doing it for them. I like the things, I mean, within reason. If I liked kicking puppies, I would have to rein that in. That would be a bad thing.
Cool.
But I like certain types of TV shows. I like table sports games. I like amusement parks. I love going to amusement parks. And now that I know you don't have to pay for parking on my season pass, you might run into me at Kentucky Kingdom just bopping around there, because I just like bopping around. It's just
a fun thing to do. Candy and a teddy bear.
Yeah, absolutely. Try and
win
a prize.
Bobby. Hey, how you doing?
How you doing? Nice to see you. Love golf. Love bowling. I'm enjoying learning about new sports, learning cricket. I'm trying to do all sorts of different things I've never done before. I'm going to get to call a harness race, perhaps.
Nice.
I have no complaint. I don't want to die, but if I did, I'd have to say to God, you treated me better. I mean, you gave me sat in the green room at Letterman. All these names I drop on the show, I still get a kick out of having met those people. I'm never blasé about it. I don't think I'm one of them. It's not like, so big deal. So I got to talk to, stars of this movie or that show. I'm not one of them. I mean, I'm not, like if you hang out. Like, I'll never forget, my brother told me, he said, I realize what a different world it is, because he had gotten to the point where people knew who he was. He'd won the national championship.
Right.
And he ran into I don't remember which actor it was now. I don't know if it was Elliot Gould or it might have been somebody, but the guy was a big basketball fan, was always at Knick games. I don't know who it was. And he was like, I talk about basketball and Jim from New York. And he was talking to him like as a colleague. And he was like, I love going to Knick games and I want to always go, but Al always says he doesn't want to go because people are going to recognize him. He doesn't want to be bothered with that. And it wasn't until he left he realized the guy was talking about Al Pacino. I would say, I ran into Diener, and it's just a guy. It's just your colleague.
Right.
But that's different. Yeah, he was on a plane. He was on a plane once, and he was in first. He was in first class, but he was in the back of first class. And all of a sudden, halfway through the flight, the seat next to him was open. I forgot about this one. Doing a name dropping. Jack Nicholson came.
Oh wow!
Nice. Sat next to him because Nicholson, another guy. They all want to talk to him because what do they love?
Basketball.
And he's a Laker fan, so he sat with him for about an hour. Just talking basketball, and then he said to him, I got to go back up there. She's going to get mad if I don't go sit with her. It was Angelica Houston. That's who he was flying with. That was his girlfriend at the time. That's a different world. Yeah.
Right.
So I don't take for, you know, the short visits that you have to get a chance to talk to a guy who's, you know, what you'd consider a celebrity. I'm not fawning, but it's pretty cool. So, yeah, so I've got no complaints. So I like doing what I like to do. How the hell do we get on that?
No, we were talking about merry-go-rounds.
Yeah.
You like merry-go-rounds.
I do. I like Ferris wheels, and I like the noise of merry-go-rounds. I worked in an amusement park for 3 summers. And even after I stopped working there on summer nights, if I had nowhere to go, nothing to do, I'd drive. There was no admission charge. I'd walk in. I'd just walk from the front of the park to the back, look on the rides, maybe play a game or two, maybe try and, you know, when the restraining order ended, hit on a 16-year-old because I thought, wait, should I not say, is this on? Hello? Oh, crap.
He was so wholesome and nice. And why'd you have to?
Because I didn't. Obviously, don't do that. 18, man. No, not even that.
How old were you when you were working there?
I was working there as a, in college, a senior in high school going into freshman year of college. And then
so
first 2 years of college. Oh, yeah.
No.
I was hitting on my contemporaries.
There you go.
I wasn't. Darlene, just kidding.
Hi, this is Paul.